Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Andrew Gribble is in New Jersey as well. He covers the Browns for ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew Gribble is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Andrew, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, doing great. Good to be on.
Yeah, let's begin with Antonio Callaway. Word coming down today that Antonio Callaway will play. Is there any word of any kind of discipline from the Browns, or are they worried about any discipline from the league for Antonio Callaway?
Yeah, I've got no official word on that, and I imagine I have no reason to disbelieve Mary Kay Cabot's report on the matter with Callaway playing tonight. And I think we will find out a lot more tonight when Hugh Jackson speaks after the game. We haven't heard from him since Tuesday when he was kind of really just getting the news about it to begin with. But clearly, I imagine Hugh and John Dorsey have met with Callaway, disappointed that this thing came up for a guy that they knew had it kind of a checkered past. And I think that they're going to urge him, you know, you got to grow up and avoid these kind of things in the NFL, or it won't last as long as he hopes in the league if these things keep coming up. So I think that's going to be the message to him. And if it comes to where he's playing tonight, I think this is a guy on the team, considering he hasn't played football in a game-like setting since 2016. This is a guy that needs all the reps he can get from an on-field perspective. So we'll see just how he responds if he's out there tonight.
Andrew, when it comes to Callaway and his entire situation, what's the most important question that the Browns need answered at this point?
I don't know. I can't tell you that personally, because I imagine they've gotten a lot more information about this situation since we last heard from them on Tuesday. But, you know, when you look at the incident in a vacuum, it's a pretty minor one in the vacuum of what actually happened. But when you throw in the context of what he's been through before, and I think the issue with maybe not notifying the team about when it happened, I think that's probably what it's going to come down to. But I think this is, you know, you hope for his sake, it's a wake-up call that anything you do in the NFL, especially when you have the history that you have, it's going to be magnified to the 1,000th degree. And I think you hope that sinks in for a guy who really does have a lot of talent, but to succeed in the NFL, it's got to be what you do on and off the field.
And we've learned that with Josh Gordon. When you rely on a guy like that, you know, Andrew, you know, right?
Yeah.
Guys, Josh Gordon's one of the most talented football players there's been at the position, but yet he's never on the field. And once again, we're waiting on him. And you'd hate to go down the road with this guy. You're right. In a vacuum, what happened here is not a huge deal. It's almost worse that, as you say, he just didn't tell anybody. But personally, I think it's stupid that the league even tests for marijuana. But the rules are the rules, and he is another guy because of his track record, and there's a lot more than marijuana in his track record, that we're going to constantly be worried about, and yet the Browns are going to sort of rely on him at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this wide receiver rotation shakes out. It's going to be interesting to see what shakes out if there is any kind of punishment with Antonio Callaway going forward. I can only speak from the perspective from what we've seen on the field from him in the 10 days.
Yeah.
He, from what he's done on the field, has given them a reason to rely on him because of what they've seen from him so far. But like you mentioned, it's got to be the total package to get it week in and week out, because it's all about, it's the biggest cliche in the book, the biggest ability is your availability. And I think for him, when he has been available and healthy, he's been an impressive player. And I think that is what is encouraging from him on the field. But again, it's going to be a whole process of working through with the team's culture and everything like that to keep in line and keep incidents like this to hopefully be a thing of the past.
Andrew, obviously all eyes going to be on Baker Mayfield, number one overall pick tonight. He's expected to play a little bit longer maybe than some would initially expect in the first preseason game. So when you talk about Baker Mayfield, readiness is the buzzword around him. What can he do throughout the course of the preseason and the remainder of training camp to show the Browns that he is more ready than maybe they think he is right now?
Well, yeah, I think it's the whole operation of the offense. I think it's when we looked back when you look back, they're not two quarterbacks you can really compare other than that they're rookies. But when you look back at the mistakes that Deshaun Kizer made, it was it was maybe not the things you saw right away on the field, but it was when you look back at the film, oh, he made this great throw, but there was an even more wide open throw to make within the course of the offense. You want to see those little things that he's doing. And I think it's really just the whole operation of the offense. You don't want things to look kind of scattershot out there. You want to see a well-run product. And for him, you know, he's worked a lot with the guys that he's going to be on the field with. It's not like there's been much yo-yoing with where he's been on the depth chart. He's been the second team quarterback from basically the end of OTAs up until now. The second team offense, outside of maybe moving around a couple offensive line, has looked relatively the same the entire time. So he's got some legitimate chemistry with some of these guys that he's going to be working with. So you just want to see what he's done so well on the practice field translate into the games. And I think, you know, this is going to be a new experience for him today. So you maybe expect it to look a little different from him today, but then you see what he did in this game, and then you go to the next one, and you want to see him do everything like he's done better. And I think that's the thing he's done that's been so encouraging. We saw him out there at rookie minicamp OTAs, some definite struggles being under center. And then you saw him get better over the summer, come back, and really start to feel good within the scheme of the offense. But then you're going to have some setbacks, like Friday's scrimmage. He looks good against the second team defense, put him out there against the first team defense. He throws an interception. It's a learning moment for him. So you just want to see steady progress from him, because he really is going to get a lot of opportunities in this preseason with how, kind of how the quarterback depth chart shakes out with the guys behind him and Drew Stanton, Brogan Robach. You're not going to really need to get a great look at either of those guys. You know what you're getting in both of them. So he's going to have a lot of opportunities over the next four games.
Andrew Gribble, senior writer, ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew, we were talking offensive line. You mentioned the offensive line, the big move of Joel Bitonio to left tackle. This will be his first, you know, it's preseason, but his first game at left tackle in the NFL. Austin Corbett, the rookie, is going to play left guard. I think we'll all have our eyes on them. I know Hugh Jackson said Corbett would play with the second team as well. Are you convinced that that will be the starting lineup week one?
I just have a hard time envisioning anything else at the moment. Yeah. With left tackles, they obviously make a little bit less money than quarterbacks, and they're not as important as quarterbacks. But, you know, there's maybe about 20 or so good left tackles in the league, and the rest of the teams that don't have them are just trying to get by. So the availability of just going out and getting one, it's just not there. And from what we've seen with the rest of the roster, I think there was a lot of optimism before camp that Desmond Harrison had a legitimate shot at this, but he just hasn't been healthy and hasn't been out there to compete. Greg Robinson, who's kind of bounced around, is really a big guy and kind of a physically impressive person, but he missed a week of practice and really has not been in the mix really to challenge as that starting left tackle. So I think Joel Bitonio, you know, I think initially was reluctant. I think he admitted that, but I think he's kind of gotten a little bit more comfortable, and I think he was maybe a little nervous about it because he's been so successful as a guard. And I look back, you know, he played so well as a rookie, and then he had back-to-back seasons where he was kind of hurt, banged up. And then last year he was really feeling good about himself, really feeling back to his kind of elite guard status. And then now all of a sudden you're moving him to left tackle. But I think he's had moments in practice where he realizes that he really can do this. And I know this might not be a long-term thing for him beyond maybe this season, but for him personally, if he can show that he can be a legitimate left tackle in this league, you know, that's pretty good for him personally moving forward. Even though he's on a great contract now, that's a position that really there's no shortage of demand. Just look at the left tackle on the other side of the field tonight with Nate Solder. Probably not in the top 10 left tackles, but he's getting paid a ton of money.
Yeah, he is.
Is there an option if that doesn't go as well as the Browns want it to go?
I mean, I guess your options you're looking at are Greg Robinson, potentially. Oof. If you look at what if you can have maybe a reboost in confidence in Sean Coleman, but really ever since that move, he's been kind of moving back and working at right tackle. So you hope that this can work out. And I think from what they've seen in practice, especially the first day, I spent some time after the first practice looking at every one of the snaps he did in team drill. He looked really comfortable. And I think that looking at that film after that first practice, I think gave him a lot of confidence. And I think going up against Myles Garrett, we know how talented he is. I think that has really gotten him better. I mean, I think there's going to be moments, just like every left tackle in the league, outside of having Joe Thomas for 11 years, you're going to have some moments where you get your quarterback in trouble. But I think more often than not, he's such a smart player and has such a willingness to learn that I'm encouraged. I'm confident. I think it's going to work out. And this is really when you talk about the best five linemen, you would hope that Corbett was one of the best five, and that was really the only way you could see him getting on the field unless he was able to play left tackle, which they evaluated, and clearly he's going to be a guard.
Andrew, let's wrap it up with the running back position. It's good to have depth everywhere in football, but I don't love the idea of three guys getting seven carries each. I think that's never really advantageous. And I know Duke Johnson is a different kind of player, and he'll be, you know, they'll split him out a little bit and maybe on the field one of those other guys. But I wonder, in a perfect world, like, unlike quarterback, running back is a young man's position. Do you think if Nick Chubb kills it in the preseason and looks like a stud, is there a chance he becomes the clear starter and Carlos Hyde becomes the clear backup?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly a possibility. And I think that's why they've kind of viewed it as an open competition. I think this is a little bit differently than what the Browns have done at quarterback. And I think you've seen Chubb sprinkled in a little bit with the first team throughout training camp. And I think that he really is a physically impressive running back and one of those guys that you look at being like, this is a guy who could really wear down a defense. And I think that's going to be a guy that they're going to be evaluating all throughout this preseason. I think it's a good issue to have. And you mentioned Duke Johnson, like getting seven carries a game. I just probably don't see it even being that close. The thing with Duke is you maybe have to keep defenses honest with him in the backfield. You give him a carry here and there, but really his damage is going to come in the receiving game, especially now with what's going on with the Browns wide receivers. He's going to be even more important to what the Browns do passing-wise. But like you said, I mean, running backs that have been drafted way lower than Nick Chubb have come in and made an immediate impact. And so I think that he's in a position where if he really does go out and earn it, I don't think there'd be any hesitation.
Yeah, I kind of think about like the Minnesota situation last year, right, where they signed Latavius Murray. And I know Hyde's a little better than Latavius Murray, but Dalvin Cook was so good, they were like, yeah, he's the guy. And I wonder if that could happen here. We'll see. Andrew, appreciate the time, man. Have fun at the game tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.